You know, it's Palm Sunday, and it was nice to watch the kids as they kind of showed us exactly what happened as Jesus entered Jerusalem there for the last time of his earthly ministry. You know, the disciples, they had been so excited about coming to Jerusalem. And then Jesus told them on this particular Passover, I want you to go, and I want you to go to a certain house, and I want you to take the colt that is there and bring him to me. And Jesus rode that colt in to Jerusalem the last time. And this was so significant. This is something that the Jews would have recognized, and also the Romans that were there in Jerusalem, they would recognize the significance of Jesus riding in on this colt. You see, Jesus riding in on the colt was prophesied, as you talked about a little bit, Kenny, this morning. What passage was that? Isaiah?
Zechariah.
That the Messiah would be coming in riding on a colt. What that represented was he was coming to bring, and he was a conquering king. A king would ride in on a colt, both from the Jewish perspective and the Roman perspective as well. A general who had been out fighting the war would come back riding victoriously on a donkey. So it had great significance that Jesus come in this way. You know, the disciples, they had no idea that this was going to be the last time that Jesus come to Jerusalem for the Passover before he was crucified a week later. And I'm sure that they had questions as they reflected back on all the events that took place, the teachings that they saw him do, the miraculous miracles that they witnessed. But whatever they were feeling, they could say that they had been truly changed by the time that they spent with Jesus. And I pray that that's something that we can say too, that when we spend time with Jesus, that we are changed. And why are we changed? Because Jesus not only is our brother that we talked about last week, but Jesus is our friend. We are a friend of Jesus. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be looking at another aspect of Christian love, and it is called phileo love. Now, I want you to know that when I looked this up online, that was the spelling that I seen, was P-H-I-L-I-A. I was instructed last Sunday that I have spelled that wrong. Imagine that. I spell things wrong. For those of you that don't pay any attention in the bulletins, I spell a lot of things wrong. But my son told me that it is actually P-H-I-L-E-O, phileo. So that's what we're going to be talking about today, and that is love between friends. Friendship is another amazing gift that God has given us, and it allows us to love others outside of our family. We talked about storge love last week, the love between family, mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and all of the rest. That was storge love, the love between family. But today we're talking phileo love. And phileo love, friendship love, is another way that we can express love outside of our families. And friendship is important. But I want to point out that friendship, it goes beyond just being acquaintances, just knowing of someone. Friendship love is knowing someone. You are close to them. Friends are people that we invest time in, and they invest time in us. But to what end? What end do we, why are we friends with people? Well, we're friends with others, and hopefully we teach each other and we grow together. A friend is someone that you can really trust, that you can put, let's go ahead and put up the next, what's the next slide? Okay. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. This is something that was said in a message many years ago that I listened to, and it was so impactful to me that I wrote it on the front cover of my Bible. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. I believe that statement's quite true. And if it is, what does your future look like? What does your future look like with the friends that you have? It's an important question to consider. You know, This statement was it was so profound that I did write it on the front cover of my Bible. But as I thought about what type of scripture to look at today that talks about phileo love, I wondered where to go. You know, there are many examples of phileo love in the Bible. Some are really good examples and of friendship, and others are really not. You have Ruth and Naomi, David and Jonathan. You have Elisha and Elijah, Job and his three friends. We know how that all turned out. We even had Jesus and Judas, because Jesus was a friend of Judas, the man who betrayed him. You know, these are great examples of phileo love, and it's just a small portion of the friendship love that is found in the Bible. But you know, these relationships, they go much deeper than what we realize. And I hope that the friendships that we have with other people, that they go deep as well. Because just superficial friendships, they're easy to come and go. But deep friendships that last lifetimes, those are something that we cherish. So what are some of the characteristics found in a friendship or friendship love? So I found this and I thought that this hit the nail on the head. We have friends that are trustworthy, that are generous, that are forgiving. Oh man, we got to be forgiving with our friends, right? We have cooperation with each other, respect, caring, showing empathy, being loyal to one another, being affectionate, right? Humorous. A good friend is always going to make you laugh, right? Patient and encouraging. These are all qualities in friendship that we all desire, and hopefully that we are giving to other people as well. And in doing so, we can deepen our friendships we have with others. But you know what? Sometimes friendships, they change over time. But phileo love is a gift from God that we must treasure throughout our lifetimes. You know, there's something that draws us to certain people. And friendships develop and flourish as we come close to one another. These are the kinds of friends that will last a lifetime, that we share our deepest thoughts and secrets with, our hurts and our joys. With so many examples of friendship, where do we go this morning? Well, the friendship that I wanted to point out this morning comes from John 11, 1 through 44. And this is the friendship that we have between Jesus and Lazarus. You know, just to give a little bit of background information as we get started, the friendship that Jesus had with Lazarus, we don't exactly know where it began, but we do know that Jesus was a very close friend of Lazarus and his family. See, Lazarus lived in Bethany, and Bethany was just 2 short miles southeast of Jerusalem. So whenever Jesus would come to Jerusalem, guess whose house he would hang out at? Lazarus. And Martha and Mary. He would stay there with them whenever he came to Jerusalem. And Jesus literally set up base camp in their house the final week of his life. The Passion Week that we're just about into, this is where Jesus spent his nights. He would travel from Jerusalem back to Bethany during that time. Now you have to understand that this shows us how close Jesus was to this family. Because let me tell you something. You don't open your home up to some street preacher and all of his following if you weren't connected with him, if you weren't his friend. So it shows us that Lazarus and Martha and Mary were very close friends of Jesus. And he cared for them. And they cared for him and what he was doing. So John 11, 1 through 44 is where we're going to be. And we're going to start with the first 11 verses this morning. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, a village of Martha and her sister Mary. Or Mary and Martha, sorry. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one that you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. And he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judah." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago, the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you're going back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by the day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." You know, as we read these first 11 verses and get started here this morning, we understand that Jesus and Lazarus and Martha and Mary, they were friends. And it's clear that Jesus loved Lazarus from the scripture. And now we know that from Luke's gospel, a little bit of background on this family, this impactful ministry that Jesus had. Jesus would come to their home and spend time there. And Martha, in Luke 10, she is a little nervous about all of the company that is there. And like a worried woman who has got company coming, what does she do? She's running around trying to straighten things up. She's trying to cook a meal. She's trying to be the best hostess that she can be. But her sister, Mary, is sitting there listening to Jesus teach. And she gets a little ticked off about it. "Jesus, would you tell Mary to get up and help me?" But Jesus told Martha, "Mary has chosen something so much better, and I'm not going to take that away from her. You worry about so many things. Don't worry about those things. Pay attention to who's with you. I'm here, and I'm teaching. Listen. Listen and learn." You know, it's pretty hard when you're that kind of a person. And Jesus hears that Lazarus is sick, and he stays where he was for 2 days. How many of you think that seems pretty unfriendly? How many of you think that that's kind of unfriendly? That Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, and by golly, he didn't leave immediately. He stayed where he was for 2 more days. I mean, when you get a phone call that your friend is sick, has had a horrible accident, is in the hospital, what do most people do? We stop what we're doing, we get the car, and we go to the hospital. When a loved one is like that, what do? We put everything down. We get in the car, and we hurry as fast as we can to be by their side. But Jesus hears that Lazarus is sick and hangs out for 2 more days. He waits. That may seem unfriendly, but there was reason why Jesus was doing this. It wasn't that he didn't love Lazarus and this family. He was doing something that is going to prove and show the world who he really is. You know, and then there was another factor that was going along with this too. We find out in these 11 verses. The disciples here that were going back to Lazarus' home, we're going back to Bethany, and they're like, "Stop right there. Just a little while ago, not long ago, we were there, and by golly, the Jews were trying to stone you. This is not trying to hurt Christ, not trying to hurt Jesus. This was to kill him. Jesus, don't you understand that? That we're going to be going right back into this firestorm of a mess if we go back now." But Jesus says, we're going. And then he makes this statement about the 12 hours of daylight. Jesus was telling his disciples, if you walk with me, I am the light of the world. You walk with me, I have your back. I'm going to take care of you. I know when my time is coming, and my time has not yet come to die by stoning. There is another way that that's going to happen. And when that does, the darkness is going to come, and you're going to feel lost. But if you walk with me, you're walking in my light, and you need to do just that. Jesus was going to be glorified in everything that was about to happen. So let's go ahead and we'll continue on. Verses 12 to 27. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought that he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Poor Thomas is always doubting. He didn't quite grasp who Jesus really was. All right, Jesus is going back. We're going to go, and we're all going to die. That's pretty much how Thomas was reacting. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in their loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and met him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. So Jesus makes it to Bethany. And Martha begins to hear that Jesus is on his way. And she leaves Mary at the house with those that have come from Jerusalem, the mourners that have come. And she goes out to meet Jesus. You know, Jesus had done many unbelievable things in the presence of the disciples. The disciples were eyewitnesses to everything that he has done, everything that he has taught, the miraculous signs that he has shown. They were there, eyewitnesses, front row seats. But they still didn't understand. They still didn't get that Jesus was God himself, God incarnate. And Jesus says, I'm glad that I wasn't there when he died, so that you will believe. So he goes and he arrives in Bethany. And he makes this amazing statement when Martha comes and says the same thing. Lord, if you were here, he would not have died. But then Martha, that same Martha that was so worried back in Luke 10, see the dramatic change in her. She says, even though he is dead, I know even now that whatever you ask, God will do. She knew who Jesus was, and she believed that he was the Son of God, that he was the Messiah, that he was God incarnate, standing right in front of her. And Jesus makes this amazing statement, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Everyone who believes in me will live even though they die. and those who believe in me will never die. I thought about that this week. It's kind of interesting. It's kind of a picture of what Jesus said in John 3, that a person has to be born again. If you're not born again, you don't get to see heaven. Jesus says the same thing here. If you believe in me, then you are born again. And if you are born again, you will, even though you pass away, even though this body dies, you will never die. Ever. Isn't that amazing? And then he asks this question, do you believe this? This is not just a question that Jesus had for Martha that day in Bethany. This is a question that Jesus asks each and every person who comes to him. Do you believe that I am who I say I am? You see, there are three ways that we can take Jesus. And there are only three ways that you can take him. You can take him at his word that he is God incarnate, that he is the very essence of who God is in the flesh, that he walked among us, that he loves us, and that he died for the sin of the world. You either believe that or you believe that he is an absolute lunatic. He's a lunatic and a liar. Those are the only three. Either he is who he says he is a lunatic, or he is a liar. Jesus is exactly who he says he is, the Son of the living God. And he had come to bring life and peace. He was coming to bring and do something that only he could do. And that's the truth. So let's go ahead and we're going to finish reading the story here. Verses 28 through 44. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. Isn't that show the maturity of Martha? I don't remember Jesus asking for her to go get Mary, but she knew that's what her sister needed. The teacher's here and he's asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. If you have your own Bibles, underline verse 35. Jesus wept. Those two simple words carry so much weight. They carry so much weight. Why? You know, I was told that my grandfather Moisner was not a big churchgoer, and when he was going as a younger man, they were told by the pastor, you know, during youth group or whatever, that, hey, you know what? You've got to memorize a passage of Scripture. Guess what passage of Scripture he memorized? John 11, 35. Jesus wept. But why does it carry such weight? Why does it carry so much weight? It proves to us that he is 100% human. He knows how we feel. He knows the grief that we feel, the sorrow and the loss. And he witnessed his friends, Martha and Mary, and the other Jews that were there that were crying with her. He saw that, and what did he do? He didn't say, why are you weeping because I'm about to raise him from the dead? No, he wept with them. That's what a friend does. They come alongside you when you're down and they try to pick you up. And Jesus was there crying with them. It proves that he is human and that he loves. He loves beyond anything we could ever imagine. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor. He has been in there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you have sent me." Jesus was not going to be accused of trying to perform a miraculous sign or doing a miracle by any other name other than the name of the Heavenly Father. So he prays this prayer out loud so that people knew who was doing this. He made sure that the people that were standing there that day that were watching this knew whose power was going to make this happen. Then he said this. Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped in strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Let him go. How much did Jesus love this family? How much did Jesus love this family? How much did Jesus love the disciples? How much did Jesus love those that were gathered around to witness this sight? He loved each and every one of them the way he loves us. He loved them. And he loved Lazarus, and he put an exclamation point that day on who he was. Lazarus had been in that grave 4 days. This is not a, "Well, we think that he's dead." Oh no, he was dead. 4 days in that tomb, and all Jesus had to say was, "Lazarus, come out." If you have any question that Jesus is not capable to raise us from the dead, put it behind you, because this shows. Three words, "Lazarus, come out." Put your name in for Lazarus. He will say that one day. We're going to walk away. We're going to walk out of those graves. Believe in me, even though you die, you will live. That's an amazing promise, isn't it? And Jesus loves that way with all of us who come to know him. With all of us who come to know who Jesus is, he loves us with this phileo love, this friendship love. He's close to those that are close to him. He's close to those that are still far away. But he knows each and every one of our names. And he calls out, "Come. Don't wait. Don't wait. Come. Just as you are. Just as you are, you can come to Christ. But understand that when we come, there's going to be some serious changes that begin to happen. Jesus changes you from the inside out. He is patient with you and he works with you just like a good friend does. He encourages you to keep going. He helps you when you stumble and you fall. Get up and let's go. He's always there, like a good friend should be. This is amazing love that Jesus shows us. And it's all because of who He is. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in Me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in Me will never die. Do you believe this? I pray that we do. Let's pray. Father, we love You and we thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. Father, for this time that we've been able to be together in Your house and in Your presence. Father, the gift of opening up the Word and allowing You to speak in and through it. Oh God, what a special gift it is. And Lord, we've talked about Eros love and Storge love. And today we've talked about friendship love and how special it is. And Lord, Jesus is one who sticks closer than a brother. He is a brother and a friend. Oh Lord, what an amazing person He is. And we love Him. Father, we love You because You have first loved us. We give You thanks and praise. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.